you are the customer here. I mean, think about how your customers bully you, right?
That's true.
They bully you. They're like, yeah, you need to have a PCI, you know, 7 compliance, even though you only need, you know, 1. You can do that to them. You can at even like if you choose to use the same one, right? Because you at least you know how the software should work.
Right.
Welcome to Working Code with your 3 hosts who never make off by one errors, Adam, Ben, Carol, and Tim.
Okay, here we go. It is show number 173. And on today's show, I have a special guest, Tim Cunningham. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
And as it turns out, Tim was gone last week because he was sick, and this week, Carol and Ben are not feeling well. So it's the Tim and Adam show tonight. But first, as usual, we'll start with our triumphs and fails. Tim, what do you got going on?
Well, you already buried my lead, so yeah, that's my fail. I was sick for 10 days straight, and the first, like, 7 days of that, I just slept completely. Mm. I did nothing but sleep. I got out of bed to use the bathroom. I barely ate. I just had absolutely no energy. And then once I was well enough to get out of bed, then like the coughing was so bad. Mm. I would cough until, you know, I would just kind of just
pass out from exhaustion.
Yeah. From exhaustion, from coughing. But so today, you know, 10 days later, it was the first day. I'm still not 100%. I didn't want to miss another show. So, you might hear a little congestion in my voice, but yeah, today was the first day I actually did a full day's worth of work. Now, I've been working this whole week. So today's Thursday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and today. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was kind of like work a little bit, make sure nothing's burning, go lay down, get up, do a meeting, go to bed. But today was the first day I was glued to the computer all day and got actual good stuff done. So glad I'm feeling better. I guess it could be a triumph that I'm feeling better today, but my fail is I had so much lined up last week and I hated missing it. And the bad thing is I deleted a bunch of meetings off the calendar and I don't know what those were.
Oh no.
And so I'm just hoping that someone reaches out to me and say, hey, because I canceled it, said, hey, I'm sick, but no one's rescheduled.
Do you know if you could like look in your outbox, your sent box in your email and see if it sends like cancellation notices?
Yeah, for the ones I sent, but I don't know if for the ones I received, I usually delete the invite.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my failure, but thus is life. What can you do?
Yeah.
And Ben, Carol, hope you feel better.
Indeed.
Oh, and my wife got it yesterday. So
you know what? I don't think you have said, do you know what you had?
It was not COVID. It was just some sort of flu, and it was a really bad flu. I felt the same way back in September when I was in Miami and for a work conference and got sick there. But yeah, so but now unfortunately my wife has it and she's in bed. And so my poor daughter. It's her spring break this week from high school. It's her last high school spring break, and she had so many plans. And my wife started feeling bad the beginning of this week, so pretty much she's just staying on her computer doing nothing and can't do anything. So I feel really, really bad for her.
That sucks.
Yeah. How about you, Adam?
I'm also going to go with a fail. I thought I was prepared to have this co-op start. And as it turned out, I was not as prepared as I thought I was. So, you know, we've talked about a little bit about the kind of the first assignment I was going to have him do. I worked it off of like a spreadsheet that listed a bunch of our like background jobs, Lambda functions and things that needed a specific addition, right? So that we needed to add a dead man snitch to a bunch of them. Somehow we had gotten this far without ever snitching in a bunch of really important things. And so, you know, I was starting to show him around that. And as we got into it, it was like, you know, 8 or 9 out of 10 needed a lot of like, let's just say yak shaving, right? So like in order to add the snitch using the code that I wanted him to do, he had to import this node module, the TS modules. I've talked about it in the past on the show. Mm-hmm. And because of some of the things in that module, it's got a minimum node 18 version that it requires. So you have to, because it uses fetch, native fetch. So it has to be node 18 or later. It's all ESM and it's, I guess, written or compiled or whatever in such a way that the code that you're using to consume my module and use it also has to be ESM, meaning not common JS, has to be ECMAScript modules that import, export instead of require. And a couple of other things, this and that. And as a result, it was like, you know, okay, well, we want to do this one thing that's going to take 10 minutes and we're going to have to do this in 30 places. But in order to do the 10-minute task, we have to upgrade the version of Node and we have to convert everything from CJS to ESM. And some of these, you know, some of them are like, okay, a one file, 30 line thing. Some of them are like 15 files, 500 lines. Mm-hmm. It's a whole bunch of work. So it's just like, and everything that we looked at was just snowball after snowball after snowball. And I felt really bad, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you're getting sort of the real world experience here. You know, this is just a fact of life when you're, you know, maintaining a bunch of code that works fine until you need to change it. You know, you don't change it just because there's new stuff. You change it when you need to change it. And that's the way it goes.
We take for granted how much complexity we have in our own systems. We think, oh, because particularly the areas you never touch, but there's a whole lot of complexity there. And then when you do have to touch them, you realize, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I paired with them pretty much all day, every day this week so far. Today, I did like about a half day on and off with them, you know, spread out over several hours. And then hopefully like tomorrow, which is Friday, and next week, you know, it'll be mostly hands off. You know, I'll just kind of check in with them in the morning, midday, and end of the day. And after that, hopefully it'll just be like sort of like a, I don't know, mostly hands off sort of thing. But he's getting in the lay of the land and he understands what he needs to do. So things are going well so far. It's just, you know, sorry for all the yak shaving. That was not the plan.
Yeah.
I won't say that I was confident, but I felt good. Like I felt like I had good work lined up for him. And I was like, okay, we're going to start with something easy. But that's also, you know, good for the company and important. And it'd be like a good little feather in your cap to start your co-op.
Right. And like, now you understand why when I brought Carol in to be an intern, the first day I had her putting together chairs, office chairs.
Yeah. Well, so I guess that's that. So I don't think I mentioned at the top of the show, the topic du jour, that sounds good, I'll have that, is going to be two questions for Tim. Not just because Tim was gone last week, but Tim and I, where our Venn diagram overlaps, tends to be on these two topics, compliance and payments. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we both have a good bit of experience in that, or you certainly have a lot more experience than me in compliance, but I find myself down that rabbit hole. Anyway, so I have two questions for you.
Hopefully I can answer them. Otherwise, this will be a short show.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'll have to find something to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll have some opinions or, you know, there'll be something worth talking about. Yeah. Where would you like to start? Which one? Compliance or payments?
Your choice, sir.
Dealer's choice. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like this one is going to be the probably easier one to answer. So let's start with the one that I expect to be shorter. So payments wise, is there a company, service, product, something that will do everything, including, so you want, I want, you know, online payments, you know, for every type of card, plug and play with various gateways, right? I don't want to be tied into just authorize.net or just whoever else, VeriSign or who, you know, VeriSign is SSL certs, I think, whatever, you know, you get the point. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to tie in with multiple gateways. I need to support credit cards, Google Pay, Apple Pay, PayPal, Venmo, and I want card present payment. Like, so, you know, they have those like devices where you come and you swipe the card and it prints out the receipt and you can tap in your whatever, find it. We have found companies that do subsets of that, and between the companies, we can cover all of it. But we've never found like the one unicorn that does everything and does it securely.
Okay, so that's the question.
That's the question.
All right. So the first part of the question where you said different gateways. Mm-hmm. So you wanted to be able to have different gateways. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Right. So we generally, well, how do I put this? Our customers are schools and they have long established relationships with gateways. You know, they might be using CashNet or Authorize.net or whoever, or Blackbaud or whoever. To do their all of like campus-wide payments, right? When you swipe your card at the dining hall to when you pay your tuition to everything is all done through this one payment gateway. And there's not like one standard. It's not like every school uses one thing.
Right.
I'm sure every gateway wishes that was the case and they wish it were them, but it's not. So we have a diversity of gateways that our customers are pretty much required to use. It would be really nice if we could just say, okay, well, we'll do Stripe and then it will funnel it to you or whatever. But that puts a lot more compliance issues on us. And we don't want to be in the middle there. We just want to be like, hands off, give us the credentials that we need to hook up to your gateway and it'll go. Which that's why we use Spreedly. You know, they integrate with everything. Spreedly even now has support for Braintree. So you can just like put in your Braintree credentials and it'll go into your Braintree whatever account. So does that answer the question?
Yeah. And so here's the challenge on that and why I would say that requirement right there makes that pretty much impossible. Mm-hmm. Because so gateways are kind of like, they are the tail end of the dog. Basically you have a processor. Mm-hmm. So you have a processor and a processor will sub out to lots of gateways. So we right now are a gateway. We're in the process of moving up the food chain to become an actual processor. And so gateways, they're just people that have a relationship with the processor and they can, you know, one processor could have 10,000, 20,000 different companies that are being a front end. They're dealing with the actual clients, right? And they typically tend to focus on a certain niche market like we do. We focus on the insurance market. And so Spreedly, I mean, sounds like one that could be, but it's if you wanted to say all of them, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, maybe not all of them, but like enough of them to say, you know, I could get a list of the ones that are important to us, but I don't have it handy. I mean, CashNet, Blackbaud, probably Authorize. There's probably like maybe another three or four that are really common that we see.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be some, particularly in a certain sector. See, I've the only one that I've heard of that you mentioned was Authorize. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of those other guys. And of course, they've probably never even heard of PayCloud.
Of you. Yeah.
Right. So that makes it really, really hard. And then, because what they all do and what we do is we take, you know, that processor has a set of APIs and we build a separate set of APIs in front of it. And then someone like you or whoever, there's probably 5-6 APIs that are going through this entire chain to get to the actual card processor's network.
That explains why it's always so slow when I submit my credit card.
Yeah. And it's all for, I mean, it's a bit of a, not a pyramid scheme, but I mean, it's like, you know, Visa doesn't really care about anything other than they are the network and they're going to take their fees. The bank, there's a sponsor bank that's somewhere. So the processor itself, so the next one down is the processor. Processor themselves, all they really care about is they want to make sure that the money that is being settled while it's in flux between the coming, you know, being charged in the card network and actually being settled, which is usually, even though they get their money the next day, it's usually 2 to 3 days later that they get their money, that the merchant gets their money. The bank, in the meantime, is lending that money at a percentage rate that's called the float. So that's all they really care about. And then you have all these other entities that just are building technology on top of it to sell to the end user. Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know of one. Mm. So
yeah, and it's tough because, like, you know, they come to us with these requirements. You know, they forget that they are basically stuck with a gateway from 1990. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, operated by a dog on the phone and that's it. And they come to us and they're like, you know, we need your product to do, you know, online payments and Venmo and PayPal and Google Pay and Apple Pay and all that. And we'll go, we can do that. Does your gateway support that? You know, like our app, we can plug it in and it just works, but it depends on your gateway. And if your gateway doesn't support, you know, Google Pay and Apple Pay, then you're not going to get Google Pay and Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, there's only so much we can do without standing up something else in the middle there.
Yeah. So it sounds to me like what you're doing is you're just saying, give us your credentials and we'll stick it in somewhere, like in Spreedly or.
Yeah. It is. Yes. They go into Spreedly so that we don't have to like submit them with the request. And we get like a environment key and secret or whatever from Spreedly that we use to encrypt the requests. But then, yeah, they have like, I mean, it's the same thing. So, you know, if you've put Stripe on a page before, you know, you have like your public key and your private key, just like anything like that. And then, you know, we just provide those, you know, if you've got Authorize or Blackbaud, you know, you've got a public key and a private key, you give those to us and we plug it into Spreedly, or we can do a couple of other things with it. But it's frustrating because we're stuck in the middle, right? Like it kind of makes us look bad, but it's not even our fault.
No, it's not. And I've had people come up to me at like trade shows. Like, who was it? It's a pretty big company. Like, it was pretty really big insurance company. And they're like, look, here's our problem. So we have like all these different payment providers that are have, and you know, we want to be able to move, you know, to do like recurring payments, you know, to set up to pay their premiums every month where they don't have to re-enter the card. We just charged them. But it's like they're all segregated. And I'm like, how can we, is there a way we can move? They call them card tokens. Is there a way we can like have a universal card token that works across all of them? Like, no. I'm sorry, that's just, they've set it up that, I mean,
yeah,
everyone has their vested interest, right? And that's the other thing is like, once, you know, you have this secure card ID, to move it is a whole manual process in that you're not even, if you're the customer, you're not even the part of it. If you're the merchant, you basically have to make a request and say, I don't want to use you anymore. And I want to use someone else. And those two entities have to talk to each other and then securely move it because they actually have to send the physical card number. They decrypt it, send it encrypted. They decrypt it and then they put it in and then destroy it, supposedly. Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much I believe that, but.
No.
That's what they're supposed to do.
No. So, yeah, it's a nice racket if you're part of the process.
You're the one collecting.
Yeah, exactly. If you're one of the people getting your little piece of the stream of the river, it's pretty good, but
yeah. All right. Well, you know, that was a bust, so maybe you can help me with my other question, my compliance question. I would say that I am not completely happy with the vendor that we picked as our auditing. We have some software that we also pay for. So there's like a vendor for the compliance, like management or organization software. You know, it's like, it helps us stay on top of making sure everybody's agreed to our policies on time. And, you know, lets us know, okay, it's time to recollect the evidence that says, you know, everybody's computers are using full disk encryption, that sort of thing. That's the software end of it. And we're reasonably happy with that. I mean, you'll always want to spend less money on anything. So I wouldn't be mad if the price went down. But functionality-wise, we're reasonably happy. What we're less happy with is the auditing firm that we picked. And I'm trying my best not to like name and shame. You know, I certainly don't want to do that. Or even like...
Were they the ones I did a conference call with you and them?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. I know there.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, what... How do I not fall into this trap again next year? So assuming we're going to pick somebody else for next year, what questions do I need to be asking during the sales process where like I'm the customer and I'm going around trying to find the right auditor?
Mm-hmm.
How do I not fall into this trap again? So the things that are most frustrating to me...
Yeah, I was going to ask what's your friction points right now?
Yeah. So, you know, we have this software and not only does it do things for us, like it monitors our AWS account and it says, okay, you have an IAM user that has a access key that's more than 90 days old. So that needs to be rotated sort of thing. You know, it does all this stuff for us. Not only does it do that, but there's like a way to comment on stuff and like tag people and you can reassign tasks, right? So it's kind of like you can think of it as like GitHub issues, but made specifically for the market of compliance. Right. Mm-hmm. You can reassign stuff, you can whatever.
And for context, which compliance audit is this? SOC?
Yes, this is specifically for SOC 2.
SOC 2, okay.
And I mean, to be honest, I think that the process that we went through for PCI was similar. It just was a easier mm-hmm. bar to clear. So
yeah. PCI is actually, compared to SOCs, it's definitely easier.
Well, we got some comments last time that we made this, had a similar conversation. Yes.
It's not SOX.
Sarbanes-Oxley, not SOX, SOC, SOC 2.
I'm on the page with you.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so we've got this software and it's got like communication and organization built into the software. And I specifically, when I was, I don't know what term to use other than like interviewing, like talking to sales firm, auditing firms, I was like, okay, and you can work with this software. You'll be able to do that. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, no problem. And now we're, you know, we've collected all our data. Our review period ended on December 31st. It's April 4th, and we still haven't completed the audit because, you know, like, they needed a month or two to review the data, and then she went out for a week, and then I was gone for a week. Well, mm-hmm. you know, okay. But that was, you know, the first week of March. So I would have figured we would have been done or close to done by then. But every time that they send us, you know, like a request for more information or whatever, it always comes in the format of a Word document containing a table. And in those, in that table is like a requirement number and like a description of what it is that they want. And I'm like, well, if you're going to send me a table, why didn't you make it an Excel spreadsheet? Because that's way more usable. Right. Like I got one of the requirements is to send them a list of every change that you've made to your code. And then from that list, they will make a random sample request. They'll say, okay, you send us these 1,000 changes. We want to see the detail view of A, B, C, and D, right? They'll just pick them at random and you send like the full pull request so they can see that it got approved and that it ran tests and all that stuff. And she sent me a Word doc that contained a table, and in the table was the URLs of the pull requests, but they weren't clickable. They were just text. And there was enough of them that I wasn't going to like highlight each one and say, okay, you know, Command K to make it a link and then go do the next one. So that I could then click on them. So what I ended up doing was I copied and pasted that Word table into Excel so that then I could copy just the column that contained the URLs. And I pasted that into VS Code. And I told VS Code, this is a markdown document. So then I could just like click on each of the links and it opened them all as tabs. But it was like bananas. And really what they should have done is left a comment on that particular, you know, evidence collection task is what it is in the system, right? It says, you're required to do this. Here's the schedule that you're supposed to do it. And you can like go in and physically attach screenshots or PDFs or whatever right there to the thing. And instead of replying and saying, okay, these are the detail ones that I want, she emails me a Word document containing a table. Just like ripping my hair out, like use the tool you told us you would use. And everything, I feel like I have to explain everything three times too. Like they're just not, I don't know if they're spread too thin or what.
But yeah, I mean, like I'm sure they're working on more than one project, right? And there's a lag in time between response and getting info. I wish I could tell you, because we use multiple auditors. Mm-hmm. The experience is similar for all of them. And but the only positive thing I could tell you, or the advice I could give you is, I mean, because this is like one of the first times you've done this. So knowing this now, mm-hmm. you are the customer here. I mean, think about mm-hmm. how your customers bully you, right?
That's right? true.
They bully you. They're like, yeah, you need to have PCI, you know, 7 compliance, even though you only need, you know, one. I'm making up. That's not a real thing. People are like, I've heard stories where customers are like making you do things which are completely ridiculous because mm-hmm. it's important to them. You can do that to them. You can at even like if you choose to use the same one, right? Because you at least you know how the software should work. You can mm-hmm. see how it should work. You make that a requirement the next contract that comes up and says, here's what we want from you next time.
Right.
We want you to use the tool. We don't want to receive Word documents, attachments. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a link, it needs to be clickable. Use the tool that you told us to use to do this rather than, you know, a bunch of these work because it makes it difficult for us.
Right.
If you don't do that, we're going to talk to another vendor. If you don't, we are talking to another vendor.
Yeah.
And they've said they will do that for us.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, there was another vendor early on that you had suggested to me that I talked to. And mm-hmm. the only reason that we didn't go with them, I really liked the guy that I talked to, the sales guy. And he seemed really knowledgeable, seemed to be, you know, he could understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that we didn't go with them was because they were significantly more expensive.
Yeah. And that we continue to use them just because they kind of do things the way we want to.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice. Just remember, you're the customer here. If you're not getting the product you want, tell them the product you want.
Yeah.
And if they can't give it to you, go somewhere else. Mm. But then that means you got to learn new software. which is the pain. So we've stuck with some for years just to see if it got better. And then if it didn't, we're like, okay, we have a luxury. We have like a whole team of people that do this for us. And you're just one guy with another job, right? Yeah. So we have like a compliance department with, I think we have 5-6 people. And this is all they do for us.
I do not envy those people. You know, like
they are people that oddly love it. There are a lot of several ex-military that love filling out the checklists, and they just get off on that.
So there's a thing I'm trying to something about rearranging the deck chairs, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's that person on the coding team who gets off on just making sure the README is perfect and wanting to make sure everything is documented. And all the tests are, you get 100% code coverage or whatever. They're working, but they're not actually making the product better.
They're not creators. They're like accountants.
Yeah. it couldn't be me. God bless them. No. I'm glad that they love their work, but.
No, I mean, I've dealt with it just enough. I'm beside it because I'm part of the process, but I'm not the person in charge of it. And thank God, because I could not handle that as my day-to-day job. But there's a certain personality type that love it.
Well, I guess it takes all kinds.
Yeah.
And if you got any that are looking for another place to work,
right?
Let me know.
We cherish the ones we got. I'll do a slight aside because you just made me think of something. So a problem that I've been dealing with is we're trying to do some banking contract. And our lawyers are just scared to death. Our lawyers are just scared to death of committing to it. It's because they're not comfortable. They don't really understand it. And so we got a new CFO recently, a couple levels of companies above us. And I was talking to him about the problem. And he's like, you know what? It sounds to me like what we need to do is get you a professional bureaucrat to help out. He says, because all of this stuff that the banks ask you are BS. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And that's another different mindset. This sort of bureaucrat that understands, yeah, you're asking me to do all this stuff and I understand why you're asking, but I also understand that, you know, what you're asking is impossible. So I'm going to we're going to give you the answer you want.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do that. I absolutely can't do that.
You started dance there, and that just is the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. I just want to point out how absurd it is, right? I just want to fight on that hill. And the bureaucrat's like, I'm not fighting on that hill. I'm just going to tap dance around it and say, yeah, we're going to do it. But in a way that also says, if we don't do it, you really can't hold us accountable. So
makes me think about politicians, right? They have to find a way to work within the system and get stuff done. That's the idea anyway. But but the system is constantly fighting them and asking them to do ludicrous things.
Yep.
And you're right. I just want to be you don't understand. That's not the way our business model works. We don't have that data. I can't show you evidence that we don't have something that we don't have.
Yeah.
You want me to screenshot every bit of data in my database to prove to you I don't have credit card numbers? I don't have credit card numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Is that all you got?
Yeah, that was all I came prepared with.
I hope was it helpful at all?
No.
No, okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. It's disappointing that there's not you just need to use this vendor sort of thing.
Now, there may be one out there. I just, knowing what I know, I imagine that's pretty impossible to keep track of because there's new gateways popping up. They pop up like mushrooms. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's we see some that they're like, oh yeah, we do, the card present device and Venmo and PayPal and Apple Pay and Google Pay, but they don't do online we do online and Google Pay and Apple Pay, no card present and it's just or there might be some that do it all, but it's like, for example, I think Stripe might do everything. I think Stripe even has a card present device that you can get from them, or maybe they're they have an agreement with another company that can kind of hook the two together. But either way, but it's only on Stripe, right? You can't hook it up to somebody else's gateway. And I think that therein lies the rub, which is infuriating.
I hate to circle back, but I just thought of something. I mean, it'd be a bit hard sell probably, I guess, to your customers because they already have a relationship, but would they be willing to sign up with a gateway of your choice and get a merchant account with them? We've tried that. Yeah.
We've tried to make that case, and I think we've come pretty close a couple of times. Like we've, you know, maybe not with my product in particular, but we have a couple of other products, and like, you know, the reunion thing where it's a little bit more siloed off. You know, it's just like once a year for a couple of weeks out of the year that they're, you know, spending and making money. So it's easier for them to wrap their heads around, like, this is just like a temporary thing, and be willing to, you know, I guess, you know, route that. Okay, it's all done in this little bubble, and then we'd put it in our accounts receivable or whatever, and we have to go through all the accounting for all that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the future to, you know... Because it is very much, you know, that video that's like the expert, right? We want you to draw 6 perfectly perpendicular lines. And, you know, we want them to be blue, but you have to use red ink and that, all that stuff. That it very much feels like that, right? They're asking us to do something that is impossible, and they're the ones making it impossible.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you've ever seen a credit card merchant application, you understand why. They want like the principal owners' Social Security number, copies of their bank statements, tax returns. I mean, they want a lot of information. And that's if you do that once because you have to, you don't want to do it again. It's a very invasive process to get a merchant application. I'm surprised anyone does it, but they have to if they don't take cards. So
right, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it was a relatively short show, but that's what we got for you tonight. So I guess
there's half the people here. It's half as long. So
there you go.
It's proportional.
But so yeah, I guess we'll wrap it up there. Okay. This episode of Working Code is brought to you by this new company that takes payments and they do everything. All you have to do is wait until the heat death of the universe. I'm pretty sure it will exist by then and be ready. And listeners like you, if you're enjoying the show and you want to make sure that we can keep putting more of whatever this is out into the universe, then you should consider supporting us on Patreon. Our patrons cover our recording, editing, and transcription costs, and we couldn't do this every week without them. Special thanks, of course, as always, to our top patrons, Monty and Giancarlo. You guys rock. We're going to go do the after show, which I'm sure by now you know what that means. Tonight on the after show, Tim, you are auditioning for a movie. You're up against Tom Cruise?
No. It's not that. It's, you know, it's background work. But I'm hoping I applied for something, and hopefully I get it. It sounds like a cool project.
Save it for the after show.
Yeah, I'll save it. I'll save it. Yeah, I'm going up. Me and Tom Cruise. Yeah. 257. 250-year-old men going up against each other.
Yeah, but you're twice his height. If you'd like to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/workingcodepod and throw a few dollars our way to keep the lights on around here. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll catch you next week. And until then,
remember, your heart matters, even you tap dancing bureaucrats.
You've been listening to Working Code with your hosts, Adam, Ben, Carol, and Tim. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you on the next episode of Working Code.